Hey, what's been going on? I just looked back at the last time I even recorded anything. It was August 8th. And, I just occasionally have this desire, this drive to record things, and I don't really know why. But lately, this is now post-election. Today's the 4th, I think, of December. And, we're all reeling from the, nonsense that's been going on for quite some time. But I'm concerned that there's a little bit too much hope, in that, that there's some magical change that's going to happen, the next 4 years. And, kind of in a mixed place. Part of me is happy that maybe some of the noise will shut down day to day, but I'm also happy that the girls got to experience and witness and be a part of because they voted, except for Chloe, in electing the first female VP. I think that's it's a great experience for them to have, And, but I'm also with this little bit of twisted thought, but I'm also happy that Biden won because, I think the sooner that the kids, they're in their, early 20s and one's 16, they'll learn that neither side really does a good job representing them. And that it's really going to be up to them to create the world that they want to create. Nobody else is going to create it for you. And I don't really think that they think that the government, creates their life, but I think they think that there's a little bit more of an influence that they have on their life than they really do. And I guess that's all a matter of how much you allow it to, too. So, I'm sure there are people even today that allow the government to control their life. But I don't subscribe to that, so I don't even really pay attention to it, to be honest with you. And but I do know that there'll be probably the expectation for this younger generation, with all the things that they are talking about that are socialist leaning. I wouldn't call it socialism, but that there's going to be potential disappointment in either the execution of what they want to have happen during, I'm sorry, what I was trying to say was, just getting the policy that they want, maybe challenging enough, it'll probably be watered down. And then when they try to execute, there'll be a challenge with that as well. Probably, again, because it's watered down, it's probably not going to be as, as I guess along the lines the way they were hoping it to be. And again, I know I'm cynical, and I just don't have a lot of faith in the institutions or anybody who really tries to participate in the institutions that we all tend to give too much credence to. So anyway, sorry, that was a little bit of a rant. Because I think one of the things that I have been thinking a lot about lately is just sort of how, I'm not 50 yet, and I've also been saying that a lot because I'm 49, and every time I can say I'm not 50 yet, I find myself saying it, which tells me I'm probably more surprised by being 50 or, having that moment of like, wow, I'm really 50. I'm really going to be 50. And the emotions that go with that from just purely, age and the physical nature. I don't feel like I'm 30 anymore. I don't, know how much longer, you got and all that kind of stuff that goes through your head. And, but I also, there's a part of me too that is a little surprised. I mean, not so much over the last 10 or 15 years, but there was a long stretch probably from about 15 to probably 30, that I didn't really know if I was going to make it you know, to 50, or, you know, I just didn't see myself, you know, even after I had gotten married. And not, you know, the kids coming along obviously started to change some of that, but it took a while. I mean, I'd be lying to myself if I said, oh yeah, as soon as I got married and as soon as I had kids, I wasn't, you know, thinking those thoughts. It was because it was coming out in my actions anyway. So, you know, whether I was thinking them consciously or subconsciously, I was acting like I was still not going to live till I was 50. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s till I started to realize, like, no, maybe I want to reverse the trend here and go in the opposite direction and live to be 100, you know. And the more I started to kind of take control of my life and be accountable and, you know, just be honest with myself, it wasn't until then that I really started to see the things go in the direction that they've gone since. And, you know, there's ebbs and flows. There's moments when I'm, you know, feel like I'm back at that emotional space when I was 22, or because I, you know, there's either hopelessness or frustration or, you know, even apathy at some point. Although in my 20s, I didn't have apathy, but as I'm getting older, I'm finding that to be a nice, pleasurable space. You know, is that there's just this, I guess, relief that I guess it's coming with this realization that I'm becoming 50, is that, you know, I'm glad I made it, and I'm glad that I'm, you know, looking to figure out how to live to 90, and, you know, thinking about that, probably more consciously, you know, more, it's more top of mind, you know, like, what can I be doing today differently? What should I be doing? You know, I go through my 15-pound swings, and, you know, over the course of a couple months, so it seems like that's a yo-yo every year now. I've got to try to figure out how to break that. And, but yeah, it's like, you know, I'm really looking forward to, like, so as much as I've been historically cynical, and I probably will always on some level be on the cynical scale, I'm actually finding a little bit more, hopefulness and optimism in my future as a looking forward to it, not specifically like what's my career or, you know, what's going on personally, what achievements am I making? I'm talking more about, like, just the day-to-day happiness and letting go of, you know, the ego. It's like day by day, like, what, how much more can I take out of the ego bag and leave behind? Cause it's really, you know, a heavy bag, and I want to get rid of it as much as I can, as much as any of us can. So yeah, that's like, it's top of mind, but what I've started to say was I'm looking forward to, you know, what's to come. Like, what do I want the next 30, 40 years to look like? You know, how do I want, you know, I don't want my day-to-day experiences to be, you know, I'm not going to be somebody who decides to, you know, sell a house, move to Florida, you know, go golfing every day. You know, I'm just not going to be that person, but I want to be somebody who's still traveling, you know, if we can figure out how to, you know, have a small place in New Jersey, have a small place in Texas, you know, places that we can just consistently go back and forth to enjoy. I don't really need anything fancy. I just want a place to put my stuff and then be able to come and enjoy the experiences, the people, you know, the things that I love to experience. And that's really it. I mean, it's really not as more complicated than that. You know, and the only thing I've got to do is continue to, well, I guess there's a couple things I got to do. One is continue to think about what it is that I want and what is it that Jesse wants and what do we want to do together and how, you know, the families, the kids, where are they going to be at? Where's the school? So there's things that have to be logistically figured out, but it really just comes down to, like, okay, this is what we want. What are the action steps that we need to take today to get us towards that? I mean, I don't really have any fear that it can't happen. It's just a matter of what is it that you do to get there. And And when you think about what the reward is, you know, that's the motivation. The motivation is like, wow, I guess it's twofold. It's, you know, it's not just the actual living the day to day in the way that you want to live your day to day. I mean, that is heaven to me. Like, you know, heaven to me is waking up every day and saying, what do I want to do? And then saying, okay, let's go do that. And the more you can continue to focus on trying to achieve that space, you know, one day you want to go golfing, the next day you want to sit at home and, you know, binge a series on Netflix. The next day you want to take a walk in the woods, whatever, you know, whatever you want to do, you do. Whatever you want to eat, you eat. You know, you got to obviously do all these things in moderation so that way you can, you know, sustain a longer life. But, you know, you do the things that you want to do when you want to do them. I mean, what when you ask somebody what heaven is, wouldn't they say it's something like that? So that's what I'm going to try to figure out how to continue to build. Because again, the second part to this is then what a great example to teach, you know, for the kids to say, you can build whatever you want, whatever life you want to experience, you can build it. I truly believe it. I think that the biggest hurdle for me has always been, you know, sort of smacking back the thoughts that creep up because we've been programmed in whatever way we've been programmed, whether, you know, for me, it was Catholicism and, you know, other institutions that sort of crept in there and give you these foundations to think these are your touchstones and, you know, this is how the world works. But then, you know, other people have other touchstones and other faiths and other things like that to do that for them. And as much as I can, you know, be proud of all of the things that I've torn down and thought bubbles and, you know, negative thoughts and, you know, deprogramming myself and all the things that I've gone through to try to get to a place where it's like focusing on the things I want to focus on in my head. I'm human. They creep in. Those thoughts creep in. You know, when I try to make an argument against a new thought, it's generally off of previous thoughts or previous things that have been pounded into my head, which is the way we all do it. And then from there, it becomes like, okay, now I can start to slowly make my almost case against why this or for this and against the old thoughts that existed. It doesn't happen as much as it once did, but I think it probably happens more subtly than I'm even conscious of. So, you know, I don't think it's very hard to clean the hard drive. You know, after a certain age, you can do it and you have to work on it, but, you know, completely wiping the hard drive clean is pretty challenging. So, cause it may not be in faith for me, but it might be in some other way the way you should be living your life, you know, so it's there. And there's no doubt about it. And, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be trying. We shouldn't be working towards those things. We shouldn't be, you know, as a human forever, not just until you're like, oh, I made it and I'm, you know, got the house that I want and the neighborhood that I want with the kids that I want and all that, you know, bullshit is, you know, like I'm 50. Okay. Now what's next? I'm 60. Okay. Well, now what's next? I think too much people stop, you know, they just stop doing those things, thinking those things. You know, I know that there are probably people saying to themselves, well, I can't because, and I'm not saying that there aren't a time and a place where something you want to do. I want to go, you know, good example would be, I'm going to go hike the Himalayas, right? To Mount Everest. And some people who had that thought and had the ability when they were 25 to do that, they didn't do it when they were 25. And they may not be able to do it when they're 60 physically. Like, I get that. But then you make adjustments and you say to yourself, okay, I can't do that thing. Well, what else can I do? What else? What's the next thing below that I can do? I can't do Kilimanjaro. So, okay, what's next? I can't do, you know, I don't know what, you know, Mount Rainier. Okay. What's next? I could maybe do the Appalachian Trail. Okay. Let's do that. Let's do that. Cause I think you know, obviously it's not going to necessarily be the same experience, but it's going to be a different experience. It's going to be the experience you need, you know, when you're 60 and you can do it. That's what it's going to be. Because quite honestly, the only way you would have been able to really enjoy it as you were when you were 25 is if you would have did it when you were 25. You know, you just, you're sure it would have been a great achievement at 60. If you, and people can do it at 60. I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just using the example of somebody might say because of some physical situations, they can't do it when as they get older. And that happens to a lot of things, but that doesn't mean that you can't find new things, modified things that give you the same level of enjoyment and different, you know. There's certain times when I've been places, done things, and in hindsight, I was ticking boxes. I wasn't really there. I wasn't in the moment. I wasn't absorbing, you know, the energy and smelling the aromas in the air and getting a sense and really painting a picture of what that experience could be. I was like, okay, I'm here. I took a snapshot, move on. You know, it wasn't three-dimensional. And now I really try to take those in. I don't think I need to do it. You know, where I sit back and I go, oh, I'm really going to think about this and absorb this. I've done that. That works. you make sure you're conscious about you experiencing it. But I think that once you get better at it, you don't have to think about putting yourself in that place to enjoy it. You can just be like, oh, this is a moment I should be enjoying. Go experience it. And, you know, it becomes easier and easier. It's, obviously, the trick is how do you do that without thinking about it and do it all day long, every day, and be in the moment as much as you can, right? That's really part of the goal. And my brain right now is telling me, well, what about planning and what about follow-up? And, you know, don't you need to make time for those things and every aspect of your life? And yes, I think there's a moment in time that you have to look to the future and look to the past to glean things and to prepare for things. And that's fine. And my brain says that there's no way to do 100% of your time in the now. I don't know if that's true. I guess it really matters. It only matters to the person who's, if that works for you, then great. Who am I to say what your experience in life should be like? For me, if I don't do a little bit of preparation and a little bit of analysis after the fact, then I probably, because I get enjoyment in the preparation, I get enjoyment in the reviewing. But then it's like, okay, now it's all buttoned up. It's all in my brain is this experience. Let's go to the next experience. And I don't want to live in that experience. I don't want to stay in the past and relive experiences over and over again. Unless I want to go actually experience them over and over again. I don't want to think about experiencing them. I want to actually experience them, make them different. That's why I've been to Amsterdam like 8 times or something. Like every time I had to go to Germany for work, I was really, you know, the first couple times it's like, oh, I'm going to go through Frankfurt because that's what everybody does. And then they take the car and it's a 3-hour drive. And I'm like, huh. And then it was actually by accident. We somehow had to book a trip through Amsterdam once. Actually, I think it was because we decided to take somebody to Amsterdam. So then we realized that the drive from work to Amsterdam was only like 30 minutes longer. And then from that moment on, I was like, well, I'm not ever driving through Frankfurt again. fly through Frankfurt again. I'm going to go through Amsterdam. And from that point on, it was like, you know, I just love that city. And every time I go, it's like different experience. And, you know, it's for all the reasons, and, you know, unless you've been there, the only things that people think that it's about is red light district and weed. And I've experienced a little bit of the weed, in Amsterdam, but, not anything in the red light district. And a matter of fact, the last couple of times, I don't even think I walked down to the red light district, except for maybe to the adjacent bars, you know, like or whatever. But the city itself is beautiful, and you know, there's museums. Anyway, my point is that, you know, you find these things that you want to experience, and you want to experience them completely. You know, in one 3-day visit, you can't experience one place. You know, you have to go and you experience different parts of it, different aspects of it. You know, and and I, there are places I only want to experience once. Like I just, you know, okay, I did it. That was cool. You know, but I don't really want to do that again. But there are other parts of your life that you want to say, I want to paint this picture as much like Chicago is a city like that for me. San Francisco is a city like that for me. I know I'm really picking some, you know, on the top of everybody's favorite cities list, because there's a reason for that. You know, it's not just because they're big, it's because they have so much to offer and recommend it to everybody. And, you know, I really enjoy sort of experiencing those things with the family. Been thinking a lot about Christmas gifts, and I really would love to give them another vacation like we did a couple of years ago when we went to California for Christmas, went to Disneyland and, you know, Santa Monica and, you know, Hollywood and all that kind of stuff. It was great. And went down to down north of San Diego, I can't remember the name of the place, but anyway, went down and stayed a couple days down towards San Diego, and it was great. It was an amazing experience. And I want to experience those types of things with them more. I want to experience things with, you know, my friends and me and just me and Jesse by ourselves, things like that. So, that's the next, you know, 40 years for me, and figuring out how to earn enough money to build a life that does all that and can find that balance. It's a little trickier because, it's not a cheap, you know, want, to have this type of experience. And, you know, I make other, concessions in my life. Like I would love to get a new car, you know, but yeah, for what? Like especially these days, you barely drive anywhere. So what's the point? It's just another $500-$600 monthly bill that it's just sitting in your driveway. It makes little sense. And all the cars that I have are functioning and no big problems. I'd like to, you know, do more to this house and get it all, you know, redo a kitchen that costs $30,000 and redo bathrooms is going to cost $10,000 a piece and just all that kind of stuff. But that's money that could be spent on other things and other experiences. And it's tough to find that balance, and material things aren't important enough to me to want to prioritize them. And, but there's a time and a place for that too. So I have to try to remind myself of that. Anyway, sorry, I'm going on these tangents, but there's been a lot kind of in my head that have been floating around the last couple months, and, you know, work, this new job has taken me to a fun place. I've really enjoyed some of the things that I've got to experience here. Looks like it's going to continue. And we'll see how long it continues to last. It's already been a rewarding enough experience for me, to be happy that I made the choice, and, it's given me a confidence in how I approach things as it relates to work and in these types of roles that I wouldn't say was lost. It was lost, but not like that, it was just, in many ways, I may have actually put it in its own room and left it there and said, I'm not going to be that person for a while. And, you know, then I was like, oh, this is the manager that I was enjoying being, and I feel like is way more productive, versus the one I had become over the last couple of years, for a variety of reasons. And that was a lot of it was ego and, oh, I got this title. And, you know, I really have to be honest with myself that it was a little bit of that type of bullshit, but it was also wanting to just, you know, please people that were asking me to do the things that they asked me to do and wanting to make sure that that was what I focused on. And, but over time, I realized I didn't really enjoy that part of it. It wasn't anybody's fault, but my own to say, well, how do you like to do this job, and what kind of job do you want? And I got the opportunity the last couple months when I was with Mila, and then the 6 weeks between the jobs that I said to myself, well, what kind of job do I really want? Like, do I want a title job that pays X, or do I want a job that pays Y, which is good, not as good as the other title, but it's more in line with how I want my job to be so I can be happier every day. I think I somehow managed to split the difference. It's a little bit of both, but I'm enjoying it. And maybe I needed this little bit of both to kind of work me into the place that I want to go long term. But really, really enjoying the mentoring and the coaching and, you know, going back to, you know, staying focused on the people and trying to help them understand bigger challenges, bigger pictures, what's important. You know, to some degree, it's life lesson stuff. It's not just work stuff. It's in the context of work, but it's, you know, how to help people who don't understand how important it is to prioritize time, you know, like, and get them to understand the importance of it. So it's been a fun experience. It's been something that I've been thankful to have. And, you know, I've gotten myself a little bit too deep into it over the last couple of weeks, just simply because the time of the year. And I'm trying to take this weekend to pull myself away from it for 2.5 days to clear my mind, because I had gotten super deep into it, which I used to do like from day one for 6 months, and, you know, sequester myself into the job. And, oh yeah, by the way, I still have a family. You know, I used to do that. That didn't really do that this time, except for in spots. And so I'm trying to find that balance and, like, this weekend, reel that back a little bit. So it's good. It's been an enjoyable experience. Like I said, it looks like it's going to continue on. So listen, that's what's been kind of going on, and, hope everybody's doing well. I, know that we're all fearful. I don't know. I don't even know if that's the right word. We're just all want everyone to be healthy. That's it. I'm not fearful. I'm not, like, whether I get it or I don't get it, or I've had it or I didn't have it, you know, it doesn't really weigh on me much. I don't think about, I just don't think about the hassle. Like, do I want to go to ShopRite today to go grocery shop? And I should, but I really just don't have to deal with the mask. And of course you don't want to go 10 times. So you want to go once. So then you buy a ton of stuff, and then the unloading and the repack, you know, like the, you know, we're still wiping down food, which doesn't bother me. It's like, it's just a process, but it all adds to it. Like, you just don't want to do certain things, and no wonder why we order out every, you know, meal practically. So, you know, it's not so much that fearful. It's just that I just don't want the hassle. And I also don't want to just contribute to it as much as I can. Avoid contributing to the spread. That's more of the motivation than whether I get it. I've said to many, many people, at the end of the day, you know, 2 years down the road, whatever it's going to be, at some point we're probably all going to have had it. And so, you know, the main thing is try to delay getting it until we have better treatment, vaccinations, whatever those things are. Like, I am concerned about the cost, not just the cost of the lives lost, but the cost of people's sanity, people's, you know, livelihoods, you know, ability to be able to do their jobs, if I didn't even have jobs. So, you know, there's been a very weird, disconnected, you know, double life situation that's happening, or two different separate experiences, I guess is a better way to put it, during this whole pandemic, which is those who've been able to continue to survive and strive and thrive, really. Many of them have thrived through all this, not just stock market people, but, you know, they kept their jobs, their costs have gone down in their living situations because they're not really doing all the things they normally would do. And, you know, people are reassessing the importance of certain things, and because they have the time to think about those things, not worried about not having food. And then you have this whole other group of people that's like, it's talked about sort of as like a statistic. But, you know, and I'm not like, listen, I'm sitting here preaching like, you know, I'm out there activating, you know, some activists, or I'm trying to help people. I'm doing nothing. I'm being as fucking lazy as possible to help others. Maybe part of that is simply because I want to stay focused on doing my job to keep a job so I don't have to become, you know, and be in that camp. That's definitely part of it. But, you know, so if there's any fear I'm having through any of this stuff is mostly about losing my job and not being able to get another job to be able to support my family. Like, that's the fear. It's not anything else, which then is, you know, is the part of this that becomes a little, you know, internally, becomes that internal conflict between how do I do my job, stay employed, be productive, make money to support my family, and, you know, at the same time being social responsible, because you can wear masks, you can social distance, you can do a lot of different things, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't keep you from catching it in some cases. So in many cases, because you're just in a room too long, you're in a, you know, just whatever the case may be where you get exposed. But you have to go out there and do it. Otherwise, you know, you're going to look up and not be able to stay employed. So I'm not, you know, I'm more fearful about, you know, losing my job than I am about catching coronavirus. So anyway, sorry, just another tangent there, but I hope everybody's doing well. I hope everybody stays safe, and you know, we'll get all through this. You know, the one thing I've said repeatedly is that we've been as a species fighting viruses our entire existence, and so far we're undefeated. And all the numbers indicate that even if it ends up at 98% versus 2%, you know, which is a very callous way to look at it, but we're gonna win. You know, as a species, we're gonna win. So that part of it, we can feel some comfort in. It's just a matter of how do we get through it together, you know, as humanely and as much collaboration and as we can. So we can hopefully bring that 2% to 1.5% or 1% or whatever the number we can get it down to. So that's where I'm at. I hope everybody's doing well. Talk soon.